Welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. My name is Mackenzie Smolin, and if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's B_behind the scenes podcast. Facebook is B.behind the scenes podcast. And of course, if you're watching on YouTube, then you already found us, Behind the Scenes Podcast. So usually we have Michael and Rhonda Spencer speaking with us today, but today we have Pastor Tim and Noel speaking with us, and we have a really interesting topic, and I think that it's really pertinent to what's going on in the church world today.
Amen.
So you guys have come from a lot of, well, you haven't come from a lot of different church backgrounds, but you guys have been around in a lot of different church environments.
Yeah.
And the Pentecostal environment is a lot different than the Baptist environment, is a lot different than the Methodist environment. So how many different kinds of churches have you guys been in, I guess, denominationally?
I mean, officially a part of, really, it's just been kind of one, two, like non-denominational, we've been in Assemblies of God before and in a lot of different scenarios with Assemblies of God when we were in school. But I think the thing is within this overview, because really Assemblies of God and non-denominational, a lot of the times, and Pentecostal, they're all the same on paper, the same thing. I mean, Assemblies of God is the national, like, Pentecostal movement thing, but I think the thing we've really seen within those is the vast difference of people underneath the Pentecostal umbrella, where people can be, again, on paper Pentecostal, but like when you really get down to like what they believe, what they practice, what's going on in the church, it's not biblically like Pentecostal per se.
For sure. Yeah, because you looked up something yesterday. What we were talking about is like the actual definition of Pentecost and what people look at it today is like very different. You said that Pentecost was like almost anything started after the day of Pentecost, right?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up non-denominational like my whole life, and the only thing we had to base anything off of was the Bible. And so we're like, look, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. And I to this day, I still believe it. And what I've just realized, that what I believe and what I see in the Bible and what I've studied out, it's true in within the Pentecostal umbrella. It's underneath that. Because as I was reading, it's like the definition for Pentecostal. It's like, it's just going through, you believe in the Bible. You believe in the Holy Spirit. You believe in the gifts. You believe in the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, you believe in like all this. It's just like, yeah, like that's what the Bible says.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that's really like, yeah, when I was looking up, because there's so many, again, as I was looking it up, there's so many different versions, so many different styles. There's, these kind, but, and those kind, and they're a little more formal and they worry about how you dress. But even that, like they worry about how you dress because of, you know, the verse in Timothy. It's like, women, like they interpret the verse in Timothy that, women have to wear skirts. They're not allowed to wear pants. It's like, you know, do I personally believe that? No, but that's how they interpret the scripture. Again, I don't think that's exactly correct, but I like that's kind of gray matter. It doesn't really matter that much.
Right.
But down to like the nuts and the bolts, it's like the Holy Spirit, the Bible, Pentecost, what happens, what the gifts of the Spirit are, how they operate. That's just the Bible. And that's why I believe it. And that's why, like, yes, I'm Pentecostal, but I believe the Bible more than anything else. So I don't know. That's my thoughts on it.
For sure. Yeah. Well, there's like two different ways, I guess, that people really look at what Pentecost is. There's like basically what you said is like you believe in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation, the leading of the Holy Spirit, basically everything that Jesus died for us.
Yeah.
We believe in that and we move in that. And we believe that it's for today. But there's like a weird connotation on the Pentecostal church, definitely in the world and people who have been leaving Pentecost. And I think a lot of people that think they're leaving Pentecost aren't. They're just leaving a different style of church. Because a lot of people in the world who identify what the Pentecostal church is the more evangelical Pentecostal, where there's shouting music and loud praise dancing, and like very exuberant and boisterous preaching, people falling out in the spirit, all of that stuff, like very loud speaking in tongues. And there's a lot of people who have chosen to leave that part of Pentecost or the evangelical side of Christianity. Why do you guys think that is?
I mean, I think what it kind of comes down to is when you've only heard Pentecost or Pentecostal as like a style, you don't look at it as like the true definition of Pentecost.
Is that close enough to her mouth?
A little closer.
Okay. You just pull your chair closer if you need to. Bam. Is that better? There we go.
But you don't look at like what the true definition of what Pentecost is, and that is just believing in the Holy Spirit, really, mm-hmm. and the gifts of the Spirit. And so if you're only looking at it as a style, you can leave a church not knowing or not being fully educated on what Pentecost means, yeah. and thinking you're leaving a Pentecostal church. And if you don't know what the definition of Pentecost is, it's easy to go to another church and think stylistically this isn't Pentecost.
Mm. Right.
Right.
Yeah, because again, we have to go back to what it means. And it is just believing the Bible, believing in the Holy Spirit, the mm-hmm. gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that can look like a lot of different things. I've seen you know, Pentecostal churches that are like quiet and they're chill, but they 10,000% believe in all the Bible and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the working mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But then I see churches who believe literally on paper the exact same thing,
right.
but it's the style that's different. Like, because sure. you can think of, I guess now it's kind of more old timey, like the boom clap, boom clap, boom clap, boom clap. Like that's right. Pentecostal music, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's just a style. It doesn't mean like, because you can have that music, and then within that music, with that style that it is, it can be actually stuff that isn't equal and doesn't, what's the word I'm looking for? Go back to the definition of Pentecostal right. beliefs, which again, to me, like Pentecostal is a really long word, but it's just like, it's just the Bible. That's really, I always go back to the Bible.
Right.
Because I'm not married to a style. I'm married to the Bible. Like that's what I'll live and die for, the Bible, because the Bible's true and it's proven and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so the style can be different. And I think people get caught up on style. But the style isn't everything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, why do you think that there's been so much pushback against the evangelical style of church within our generation?
I don't know. I mean, I think we're in the social media age, so anything goes wrong, everybody knows about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think the one or two times where something has been used incorrectly, because there's definitely wacky people out there, and that's not hard to find some some different preacher. There's a guy online I saw, he's preaching, and he's like, he's telling a story of him back in the youth group, and he's like, you know, some guy used a swear word. So I went up and I punched him in the mouth. I'm like, all right, you know, I don't know if that's that's the best way to do it. But there's like, but it went viral because it's like, it's a little wacky, it's different. And I think a lot of times some of the wacky and different stuff that happens, it's unfortunately in, you know, Pentecostal evangelical style churches where, I mean, a lot of times it's well-meaning, really. Like their heart is like, hey, I really believe, they're taking steps of faith. They're like, oh, I believe God wants us to do this. Mm-hmm. And so they do it, but then it gets translated into something and it's like super, super, super wacky. And I don't know, I feel bad a lot of times because I know, well, at least my thoughts is that people's hearts are, they're pure and they're doing this. They're like, hey, we're taking a step of faith and they're doing something that seems strange in the moment, but they're believing it has a spiritual significance.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, even you think back to the Old Testament, you think about you know, the axe being thrown into the river, and that's a lot of crazy stuff. But even in the New Testament too, a bunch of, you know, middle-aged guys coming out of an upper room seeming like they're drunk, like that was odd.
Yeah.
Even the people there, they're like, hey, are you guys drunk? And it's like, no, but that was like 3,000 people were about to be saved. That's a huge amount of people. What an amazing, like, right after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. people were confused about it. And I think people have taken that, and now this is where Pentecostal style has kind of gone different ways, because people are so nervous about doing anything that's slightly odd. They're like, mm-hmm. oh, if it's odd, no, it's the devil. It needs to make, there needs to be order. And like, yes, there needs to be order, again, because that's biblical, but just because something's weird doesn't mean it is the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't mean it's not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I mean, anytime the Holy Spirit shows up, or most times the Holy Spirit shows up, it's different. It's a little odd.
Yeah. I don't particularly subscribe to the fact that people say, oh, well, it's just too weird for me, mm-hmm. yeah. because there's a lot of things in the world that are very weird.
That's mm-hmm. good.
Very weird to me. And weird is subjective, right? Something right. that's weird to you might not be weird to me. Mm-hmm. I personally think it's very weird. I just heard on a podcast a couple days ago, this person literally hugs a stone. It's like, what was it called? An appreciation stone. And he hugs it. And good. He says after he hugs it, he feels like he appreciates things more throughout the day. That's weird. Comic-Con? Comic-Con is super weird to me.
Uh-huh.
People who take astrology very, very seriously, like as another religion, very strange to me. You know, I don't care that your Mars lined up with your Jupiter, and now that's the reason why you're mad today. Right. Like, that's very strange to me.
Like, this rock is going to, like, carrying it around is going to bring you good fortune. Or
Yeah, that's very strange. Uh-huh. Like, so that's strange to me. Right. And people have no problem putting their strange out there to be loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we're getting to the point, especially in today's age, when we know that Jesus is coming back soon. Mm. So if you notice, people can be very loud about their strange and their own form of peculiarity. But I think what's different about the evangelical Pentecostal style of church is that they're very loud about Jesus and they're very strange about Jesus and boisterous about Jesus. And the Antichrist spirit doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I think there's so much pushback against it.
That's really good.
And it, I mean, it doesn't have to be like the boom clap, boom clap. We've seen tons of videos where the music is very slow and someone is just like a whole group of dancers weeping are just like, just prophetically dancing in the corner. Mm-hmm. Okay. That can be weird to somebody in the world, but people don't like that because it's weird for Jesus and it's that Antichrist spirit. And people who struggle with their faith and struggle with believing in the Bible in the first place that might be already going to church, I think those are the people that are getting kind of pulled out of the Pentecostal faith because they're kind of weak in it. They hear, oh, well, you going to that church is super weird. And they're like, dang, well, I don't want to seem weird to people. So maybe I should just go to a different church that's a little bit more quiet and doesn't really do all that stuff. But you've sacrificed the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people want to be comfortable. Like,
yeah.
And that's what it is, too. It's like so much of what Pentecost means, regardless of like what that looks like for other churches. It's like stepping out of your flesh and like being fully submitted to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that looks different and it looks weird, but like that's what that means. And people want to feel comfortable. And that's why you see a lot of people going to like heavy grace churches where it's like they can just be comfortable in whatever position they're in. And that's fine. But it's like within the Pentecostal denomination or umbrella, I would say that like it really is people stepping out and just worshiping God like fully and uninhibited, and that's what we're called to do and be moved by the Holy Spirit. And so I don't think that per se is wrong. I mean, I think it's even interesting too, like this younger generation. So I mean, you see it all over TikTok. It's like people are practicing witchcraft and like openly doing the weird sleep thing, like trying to have lucid dreams, and it's like that is weird. And they're it's a generation that's like so hungry for the supernatural, but like doesn't know that like the real source of it, and like that's just an imitation, is Jesus. And so unknowingly they're like moving in the spirit of darkness and Satanist ritual. Like they have no idea that that's what they're doing, but like if only they knew like the truth of Jesus and what the supernatural could be and can be.
That's
and it's
good.
So much better than that, and it's real, and you can have actual peace and you don't need to like fake it or have a substitute of it. And
I think that's really big. I think what happens a lot of times is people think that God needs our help, like in whatever it is, maybe explaining why something isn't weird or whatever, or even you had me on and I lost it. Like we think that we have to help God out and like, oh, well, I don't actually believe this yet, but because I think I'm supposed to believe it, I'm going to fake it as if like I need to fake like I do have peace or whatever it is. It's like God doesn't need our help. Like it either we believe it or we don't. I think that's what it really comes down to. Because even with Comic-Con and the different stuff, the Appreciation Stone, it's like these people genuinely, they either, like with Comic-Con, they love it, or the Appreciation Stone, they believe in it. And so I think if you really love God, if you really love the Word of God, if you really love what's happening in the Spirit and with your life in Christ, and if you really truly like believe in this, you believe this is true. Well, it is truth.
Right.
Like, I don't have to try to convince myself that the Bible is true, because I know it's true. And that's why I'm not like nervous to hear about other people. Like some people are, some people are so worried about, you know, what they listen to. And I think especially as a young Christian, that's 100% valid. Like if you're new, don't go listen to something wild and crazy. Oh, let me just check out this other religion real quick, because you don't even know what you believe yet.
Right.
Like, yes, get an understanding of the Bible, understand what God means in his word, understand his heart, understand the person of Jesus, get a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But once you're there, it's like you don't need to worry that something else is going to be more true. Because that's where I'm at. Like, I believe this is true 100%. You can't convince me otherwise that the Holy Spirit isn't for today.
Right.
So that's why, like, I've heard people talk about it and try to explain it away. And it's like that, like, I'll listen to them genuinely because I want to hear, oh, what if there is something that's true? I know really that there's not, right. But I'm going to listen to it because I'm not afraid to find out something because I know that what I believe is true. Mm-hmm. But again, this is tough a lot of times for younger, newer believers, because if you don't fully understand how to study things out, just that alone, how to know what the word means, how to like look up the original definitions, the law of first mention, all these different things. If you don't know like the basic structure, you'll hear something small and it'll be like, oh, you know, Noah in the flood, and you hear like some like one weird thing and like, oh, the Bible's wrong. It's just like, well, you got to look into it and you got to study it. But
that's what we were talking about last week when we were talking about faith deconstruction. Is how the number one reason why people's faith is deconstructed and it's never reconstructed is because they truly don't believe that the Bible is the ultimate truth.
Right. Yes.
That like you can ask any question, you can raise any awareness about a topic that you're confused about, but if you look at the Bible as this is my ultimate truth no matter what, so it doesn't really matter what I'm confused about in the moment, if it says it, it's true. When people don't have that conviction and that absolute truth living on the inside of them, it becomes very difficult for people to even face like the inner doubts that they might have, or answer questions that people in the world come at them. I mean, people will say the craziest things about the Bible and about church, and they'll just sit there and be like, wow, that person might be right. It's like, no, you just don't believe the Bible as fully as you should now.
Exactly.
And that's hard for new believers. Yes. You know, when people come to Christ, they just know, okay, I just met Jesus and he takes away my sins and I'm forgiven and I'm supposed to start a new life. But if they've never looked into the Bible before, they don't know all of the things that seem weird and crazy in it that scare people away. So when they raise their questions, they're like, wait, is this true? So yeah, that you've got to have that foundation of the Bible is the ultimate authority and it's the absolute truth no matter what. Any other question that might try to knock you off your faith, it's not going to.
What was it? Someone was just telling a story. They're like, I can't remember who it was, but someone really recently was just telling a story. They're like, oh, you know, God, Jesus told me that, you know, something wild, like no one's going to hell. And it's just like, what? And then someone asked, they're like, where's that verse in the Bible? And they're like, oh, God just told it to me. It's just like, all right. Well, I mean,
okay.
No, because it contradicts with the Bible, and because we know God is never going to contradict himself. Right. God can 10,000% speak something today, but if it contradicts something in his word, no,
he's not
a liar. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man.
Yeah.
People are funky, but you can be funky if you can prove it with scripture. I'll say that. If you can prove it and out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, something's confirmed. So you, again, that was another thing. Pastor was even just talking about it. You can't take just one scripture and build a whole life off it. Because there's so many scriptures in there that are just wild. Like people will take the story of Job and build a whole theology off of it. Like that's and they'll take one verse from one chapter and be like, this is how God is. This is his nature.
Right.
When there's literally thousands of verses that show God is otherwise. It's like, I don't know. It's just wild.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. So with the evangelical church and kind of going into, if you can be like kooky crazy, but prove it with the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that kind of happened was a bunch of prophecies that came out about, you know, Trump getting into office, Trump not getting into office. Yeah. A lot of those clips went very viral, and it wasn't just Christian people that were looking at it. It was unsaved people. It was people that hate the church, curious about the church, love the church, whatever.
Yeah.
And so again, the evangelical Pentecostal is very loud about things and is very unashamed. And that's why I really like it. But there's a lot of people who, you know, I won't ever speak against someone who is in the office of a prophet. Mm-hmm. Like I won't, but it did raise a lot of questions and a lot of people in the world definitely came against them. And it, what they said made a lot of sense to a lot of people. And they're saying, you know, these people are putting their whole life on one prophecy that somebody said, and then it didn't come to pass. So look at your God now.
Yeah.
And so people are like, oh, maybe I shouldn't start going. Maybe I shouldn't go to this church because my pastor really liked this person that said this. And when you have shaky faith and you don't have that absolute truth that the Bible is real, no matter what comes out of the mouth of another man.
Right.
So I think that's something that also that really like affected people. But I think there's like genuinely like a big spirit of pride in the world too. Mm-hmm. Because in Pentecostal churches, if you're going to actually worship freely, worship like the Bible says, like God likes to see, and live in the way that the Holy Spirit prompts you to, you can't have a spirit of pride. For sure. You really can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're in church and you're going to raise your hands and praise God, yep, and sing to him, you can't have a spirit of pride, mm-hmm, at the same time.
Yeah.
And so when there is the very fast-paced music or, mm-hmm, the really slow but like pouring your heart out to Jesus at the altar music, mm-hmm, you can't sit there with a spirit of pride. You can't sit in a service with the Holy Spirit and experience true conviction, yep, and have a life-changing experience and have a spirit of pride at the same time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You just can't do that. And there's a ton of pride in the world right now.
Yeah.
People want to be their own gods. And right, people who truly have, yeah, that heart, they can't sit in an environment where the Holy Spirit is, mm-hmm, is moving freely, is allowed to move freely.
Yeah.
So
the Bible says, yeah, he opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but back to the other point about even the prophets and stuff, what people who were mostly affected were people who built their life, who built everything they believe off of people. Mm-hmm. They didn't build it off of the word of God.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's why, like, you can't shake my faith because it's not built on someone. If so, like, again, like, there was so many people who prophesied that and they've like built great ministries, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wrong. Obviously it was not correct, but that doesn't mean like I'm destroyed because of it. It's like, I just realized, okay, that was a wrong prophecy. And there's so much we can get into with prophecy, and I don't think we have the time for it, but
no,
it's just,
I'm
like,
definitely not an expert.
Me either. That's what I'm saying. No. I mean, I know what the Bible says, but if the Bible says like to test the prophecies, like to see whether or not they're true, that must mean that there are prophecies that can happen that aren't true.
Right.
Mm. And it doesn't, and the Bible never says, oh, that person's a false prophet. Mm-hmm. But again, that's a whole nother thing. But if you build your faith off of someone, and again, I think this is the same thing back to the style of just Pentecostal and what you, when, a lot of times when you say Pentecostal, you think of a style, but that style, it's not like God said, hey, make sure it sounds like old Western boom clap music. That's not in the Bible.
Right.
But what is in the Bible is the instruction on how to worship.
Right.
There's, you know, the seven steps of praise. There's the halal. There's the spinning wild, going crazy. There's the kneeling down. There's the barak. There's the shouting. There's the tauda. There's the, like, all the different words, which mean like lifting your hands, thanking him for something you haven't received yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's, if we're not like, again, praising and worshiping him in a biblical way, it's like, then there's no reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you,
right,
I love what you said. You can't do that with pride.
No, you, mm-hmm, can't. And there's so many different like spirits that are rising up that the Bible says would rise up in the last, mm-hmm, days too. Like Jesus said, as the day gets closer, the opportunity for offense will increase.
Right.
So think about how many people sit in church services, yep, and they're so offended at just what the Bible says. Like, mm-hmm, that truth could literally set them free.
Yes.
But because they feel so entitled to their emotions and they feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit, instead of submitting and saying, all right, God, maybe, you know, I should change that. Maybe I should pray about that. They, mm-hmm, get upset and they leave.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know, that's another one. There's pride, there's offense, there's the Antichrist spirit that just doesn't like how unashamed the Pentecostal church is,
mm-hmm,
of the fact that we love Jesus and we believe in the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
There's the whole thing about like how people will label themselves with their trauma.
Mm-hmm.
My trauma, my, mm-hmm, depression, yep, my anxiety is, mm-hmm, crazy today. And the Pentecostal faith comes against that harshly, yep, because, right, Jesus died for that.
Yes.
Right. It doesn't matter what style of music it is. You could go to Bethel, mm-hmm, Church. You could go to, I don't know, whatever. I should know the names of church. Rod Parsley's church, uh-huh, is, right, super Pentecostal. You could go, right, to any type of Pentecostal church that believes in the Holy Spirit. And, mm-hmm, it doesn't matter what style the preaching is, what style, yeah, the worship is. You're going to be offended if the Holy Spirit is there.
Yes.
Right.
And the word says, Jesus says that the word is going to offend, yep, people,
yes,
period. Mm-hmm. Are you going to let it offend you, mm-hmm, into moving forward and into submission?
Yeah.
The conviction type of offense, or are you going to let it offend you out the door and go to a church that's going to let you sit in your misery and make,
right,
you think that it's okay?
Yeah.
Right.
And the second part of that is like, you know, offense will come, but it's like, woe to those who are offended, but blessed are those who are not offended because of me.
Yeah.
So that means that says two things. Like, one, there's going to be an opportunity to be offended on behalf of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if you follow him, there's an opportunity to be offended, but we're blessed if we're not offended, if we don't choose to participate with that offense.
Right.
And I don't know. I think it's crazy. And I think that we have to be very, we have to just be very aware of how things are happening. And it's like, am I being offended on behalf of Jesus or because of a person? Mm-hmm. So again, like the prophesying about Trump and the election thing, it's like, that was wrong. So am I offended because of that person or am I offended for Jesus? It's like, if I'm based on a person, it's going to fall. But if it's based on Jesus, I won't fall. It's, mm-hmm. it's stable. It's secure. It's something I can rely on.
Yeah. Just not offended, period.
Yes. Right.
I mean, we've all sat through messages, and if you've ever sat in his tabernacle, you're going to sit through a message where like you walk out and you're like, dang, that was really hard for me to hear. Like, right. Yeah. Like, and it happens all the time in leadership, almost every single week in leadership. I'm like, I need to change my life now. Yeah. There's something wrong, but that's not the same thing as being offended where you're uppity and now you're angry. Yeah. Now you're angry that somebody even said something about that. And well, they don't know my life and they're probably perfect up there preaching. They don't know what I've been through. As soon as you have those thoughts, you've got to cast those down because it's going to offend you right out the door. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know how a person can properly love Jesus without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us, you know, you need to read your Bible. You need to submit yourself today and you need to pray. You need to worship God with your whole heart today. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's like your flesh is going to just walk you right out of a Christian life. I literally have no idea how people do it without the Holy Spirit.
When you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not living with convictions. And so that's where offense is the only option.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because there is no like heart. It's not like, oh, well, now I can change my heart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like a lot of times when things come up where it's like, wow, that really, I need to do something different.
Yes.
It's from a place of conviction. And I know that because I have the Holy Spirit. But when somebody doesn't have that, it's just like, well, they're wrong. And this is terrible. And so I completely like understand where they're coming from because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And
exactly.
Like, and I don't know, they just can't come from a place of wanting to have a heart change or wanting to be transformed by the word.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's where people leave in offense.
Mm-hmm. And this is again, back to the Bible. This is what Jesus said. He says, when he, the helper comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and in judgment. Mm-hmm. Of sin because I forgot the rest of the verse, something of righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and he explained judgment too, but this is what the Holy Spirit does. When he, the helper, when he comes, he's the one who's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So you cannot feel conviction for your sin without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's when people talk about the drawing of the Holy Spirit, that's what it is. It's like, it's weird because it's like a bad thing almost, because you feel not good. It's not a great feeling to feel convicted because you know something needs to change.
Right.
But again, when we bring that with the nature of God, we know that he's doing this for us.
Yeah.
Because it's actually better. And when I believe that God, when his ways are actually better than mine, I have no problem being convicted and changing because of those convictions. Because I believe, I'm like, man, I'm going to change. And although it's tough right now, it's going to be so much better afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And a lot of this is what people who aren't, who don't believe what the Bible says, again, what we're calling Pentecostal and what the world calls Pentecostal. If you don't believe what the Bible says, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, if you don't let the Holy Spirit convict you, you're hurting yourself. You're keeping yourself from growing in the Lord. You're keeping yourself from a better life. Because I truly, again, I 10,000% believe that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is better than without it, because it's calling me into a better life. It's calling me into a greater life. It's calling me into a life where I can love others more.
Right.
Again, like this is what it's for, is to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Like this is what all of this is for, this conviction. It's drawing us in. But in churches where they preach some of the Bible, but not all of it, and they miss out on the Holy Spirit. Like, yes, you're going to miss out on the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit, which are hugely impactful and will affect your physical health. Like, you can be healed because of the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. You can have faith and all these other things. You can, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and that's incredible. But more than that, like, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you are not actively speaking in tongues and engaging with the Holy Spirit, you're completely missing out on something that the Bible has for us.
Yeah.
And
a perfect prayer.
Yes. Right.
Which so many people struggle with, just their own prayer life. You could pray a perfect prayer. And going back to like how if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't feel conviction. I think people confuse conviction and condemnation.
Yes. Mm.
Because if you are stuck in sin and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you like know right from wrong, especially if you're an adult for the most part, you know what I mean? Like if you're out there and you're doing something shameful, you know, you feel condemnation, you can feel guilt, you can feel shame. But those voices don't necessarily like inspire you to be better. They just tell you how terrible you are.
Yes.
And that's from yourself or the enemy. Mm-hmm. So it's impossible for you to actually feel the healthy, godly sorrow. The Bible calls it godly sorrow. It's impossible for you to feel that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, where it's like a good ouch. It's almost like the pain that you feel after you get done working out.
Exactly. Mm.
It's like, ow, that's good. That's exactly what conviction is. But that guilt, condemnation, shame thing. Mm. And sometimes that gets people right in the middle of church too. Yep. It's like it completely overrides the conviction of the Holy Spirit because they've struggled with it for so long and they don't like how it feels. And then they let their offense and pride get in the way and then they get up and leave. I think that's another reason why a lot of people just, they don't like the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And you know it's the Holy Spirit when it's calling you to God. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit will never call you away from God. That's always condemnation.
Right.
When you feel, oh, I'm too dirty, I can't go to the, like, yes, you have sinned. You 10,000% have messed up. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short. But if that thought and if that feeling is causing you or making you want to draw away from the Lord, that's condemnation. Conviction will always bring you to Him. Oh, I got to tell my leader this. Oh, I have to tell my pastor this. Oh, I have to go back to God. I know. And it's just like, it's always going to draw you back in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And because I was tripped out by that for a long time. I was so condemned. I was free. I mean, I wasn't in a lifestyle of sin anymore. But all the time I was like, oh, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something right? Oh, this, that, and the other thing. And I noticed it was pulling me away from the Lord. I was like, oh, I don't want to be around my pastor too long because then he's probably going to ask me about it and this and that. And I'm like, dude, that's just not right.
Yeah.
That is incorrect. And and we know, what's the verse about condemnation? It's in the back of my head. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Took me a second, but we got it. But there's no condemnation. So the second we feel that condemnation and it's pulling us away from God, from our community, from others, from our leaders, that's when we know, like, there's something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Conviction will always bring you in.
Yep.
And again, I mean, they both don't feel good.
Right.
But one is of the devil and one is from God for better, for growth and all that.
Right. Yeah. People don't like to be in an environment where anyone tells them anything. Mm-hmm. It's an authority issue. It's a pride issue. And I think when people stop realizing that what's being preached, if you are in a great church, in a Holy Spirit like filled church, they stop realizing that it's the word of God that's being spoken and not a man speaking at you.
That's really good.
And that comes from an authority issue because you don't see the people that are speaking, the man of God, the woman of God, you don't see them as the mouthpiece of God in that moment of them being a vessel that's been chosen by God to speak the word for that week. Mm-hmm. You see them as just a know-it-all on the altar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just somebody who's talking right at me and telling me I need to change my life this week and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, that person has been put there by God to share his word. That's a huge deal. That's not a small thing. That person is being judged more harshly. They're being by God and by people. They're being criticized every single week. They have a lot more responsibility. Their personal life and
every
their public life. Yes.
Yeah.
Everything is accountable in their life. If they do one little thing, it's like, somebody's going into like a faith crisis over here because my pastor, no, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy. So like when people walk into these environments too, they don't necessarily realize who's speaking and it's God through that person.
Yes.
Right. And I mean, even our pastor has said a million times, you know, if you don't believe this, you're struggling with this idea, like go look through the word for yourself, like find this for yourself. And really, that is like what we're called to do as Christians. Mm-hmm. It's like we can't just take what somebody says and believe it is the absolute truth, because that's when people get caught up in like total condemnation again. And so yes, they are a mouthpiece of God. But like if you're struggling with an idea or you hear something and you feel off about it or whatever, like go in through the word and find it for yourself.
Yes.
Like believe it for yourself. Believe the word of God for yourself, because if not, then like you don't have the foundation to like succeed, have a successful relationship with the Lord.
10,000%. And when you do this, you find out the truth. When you look it up for yourself, you find the truth. And this is where, again, I love when I find the truth and I see it's in the Word. Like, I don't have a problem with other people saying otherwise.
Right.
Because I'm like, okay, well, show me where it is in the Bible. Because I see this in the Bible here, 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 and here. Right. And if they're like, oh, well, you know, my pastor once said. Like, that's where a lot of these different ideas will come from. It's, again, based off of something a man did. And this is actually, when you think about different denominations, you think about Methodists. They were doing the methods of John Wesley. He was amazing man of God. He saw amazing things happen, and so people were studying the methods that he did, and he never said, hey guys, make sure you follow my methods and do all these things or what. No, but they loved the way that he did this and whatever, and they saw the move of God, but they built it off of a man. Same thing with Calvinism. That whole belief, it's built off of a man, John Calvin. And he had these thoughts about God and in the ways that he interpreted things, and so people built everything off of that. And again, as I'm saying this, I can even hear people say, oh, well, isn't Pentecostal? That's just based. No. This is based off of the Bible. It's not one man. It is one man. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
that's where my beliefs come from.
Amen.
If Jesus doesn't, something I struggled with a long time was, is it God's will to heal every time? Is it always his will to heal? And this is tough because there's, you know, we can talk about this for hours, but I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, there's been this example and this person died and we prayed for him, so it must not be God's will to heal. That's people's experience. But then when you go to the man, Jesus Christ, someone came to him, Jesus, are you willing to heal me? He said, yes, I'm willing. It's like, all right, well, and again, there's so much more scripture. It's not just like that one time, like we were saying. It's all throughout the scripture, Old and New Testament. God always shows up in healing, but the only man I'll build my beliefs off of is Jesus.
Yeah, right.
And that's why I'm a quote-unquote Pentecostal.
Right.
Because I believe the Bible.
Yeah, and when you have such a conviction to believe the Word of God, and only the Word of God, then like we were saying before, you could tackle any subject in the world that like tries to disprove the Word, and you're not going to be shaken. Yes. Like I've thought about aliens so much, like it's not even funny, and I don't care who thinks I'm crazy on this podcast. Okay. I like sometimes go back and forth, like shoot, maybe there really are, and then other days I'm like nah, but like. But like, even if they did literally find flying saucers with like little aliens, like I'm not going to be like, oh, I guess the Bible's fake. Like, I would never come to that conclusion, right? Because whatever is in the Word of God is, and all of it is 100% true. Even if it doesn't have a verse about flying saucers, like I don't care. I don't care what you find out there. I lost it. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's now.
Good. Yeah. But that's, I mean, the reality is science keeps accidentally proving the Bible true.
Yeah, right.
There are people who are straight up atheists and then they'll like study creation. They'll study these rocks and stuff. And they're like, no, this thing was wrong or whatever. And then they're staunch atheists. Like they're doing this to prove Christians wrong. And then they're actually like, oh wait, no, actually it is true. And they themselves become Christians. And that's in a million different areas neurology. I probably messed up that word, but like the study of your brain and the study of your brain cells, stuff that Solomon said in the Bible about how your brain works. They're just, now think about this. This is like thousands and thousands of years after the fact. They're just now being like, oh yeah, actually that's true.
And they're taking credit for the discovery of it. No. All glory goes to God.
Like God knows how we work. God knows how your body works. God knows how your mind works. How does he know? Because he created it. You know?
There's a guy, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say his name on a podcast, so I just won't, but there's a guy who I love listening to because he's such a brilliant person. And he, a couple years ago, he's a psychology professor. He, a couple years ago, said he didn't believe in God, but he acts as if God exists. And that was like his moral code.
Interesting.
But he uses the Bible in like all of his lectures to kind of prove different psychological things. He loved the Bible. Now he's like literally saved just because he was just using it. He's like, I don't believe in God at all. I don't really know. But and he believes in a lot of other things like evolution and like how biology is like the main motivator for like different personality traits and stuff. He's like a very educated person. But now you've got him crying on podcasts because he cannot believe his own faith in Christ because he's just studied the Bible so much. Yeah. And he has such a weird, interesting interpretation of it. I'm just like, wow, the way you said that is like kind of facts. But like, you cannot. Well, let's talk about this. Can you actually study the Bible with like a heart to disprove it and come out still not believing it. I kind of think you can.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the Pharisees in the Bible.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I mean, there's even people where, like, their whole education was theology. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they're studying is the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then they meet people and they're like, they see them moving in the Holy Spirit. And they're like, how do I get that? Because mm-hmm. they've got so caught up in, like, yeah. studying the Word of God that they don't actually yeah. know God for himself.
Yeah.
And they don't actually have, like, relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you think of the Pharisees in the Bible, they go to Jesus. These are people who, like, their life was the Bible. Half of them had memorized most of the Bible mm-hmm. that they had at the time. And Jesus shows up and he's like, and he tells them, he says, you're studying the scriptures to find me.
Yeah.
He's like, but I'm here right in front of you and you don't even see it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, are you the Messiah? Are you not? So people yeah. can 10,000% study the Bible and miss Jesus. Again, like just like what Noel was saying, it's like,
yeah, because it does matter what you believe about the Bible.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at it as just like a book of fables, you're not going to get the revelation out of it, and you're not going to receive, because you're not looking for Jesus. You're mm-hmm. looking for error, which you won't find.
But yeah, it can change you. It really it's a transformative book, but it's not the end. The Bible is not the end. It is means to Jesus. It is means to discovering Jesus. I mean, the Bible is John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus. Mm-hmm. He is the Word. And so if we're just studying the Word just to learn things and not encounter Jesus, mm-hmm. then we're completely missing it. And this, again, goes back down to just different church styles and stuff. People can read and they can study the Word and they can be like, oh, you know, that's a cute thought. But if you're doing it to engage in a relationship with a real God, with a living God, mm-hmm. with a living Savior, someone who actually cares about you, it's way different.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've encountered Jesus through the scriptures, and now it's like you really can't tell me anything.
Yeah.
you can't say, no, well, you can actually experience the presence of God. It's like, well, I have, so now what? It's like, you can't actually, this God isn't real. It's like, how? He just spoke to me.
Yeah.
How is that not real? And there's so much that disproves it. And I don't know. I just get fired up because Jesus is real, mm-hmm. and he really cares about people.
Yeah.
And you'll find it with people who are like so overly like word focused and nothing else, and they exclude the Holy Spirit. Again, this is in my opinion what really makes Pentecostal church the big difference is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit is the one who actually reveals the Word to us.
Yeah.
There's stuff that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, and then like two or three years later, some really smart guy finds it out too, and I'm like, yeah, I already knew that, but it was because the Holy Spirit told it to. It's like there's such an advantage to this.
Yeah.
But if you're just reading the Word for the Word without the Holy Spirit, you're missing it.
Yeah.
You're missing Jesus. You're missing the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It reminds me of the parable that Jesus was talking about the seed and the sower and the different mm-hmm. types of ground.
Yes.
And like, if you have too much like crap from the world in your head, you can actually make the Word null and void, which is crazy because the Bible says that God holds his Word above his own name.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, think about how crazy powerful the Word is, that the Word literally set the foundations for everything to be in existence today, that tumors are shrunk by the Word of God, that mm-hmm. people's hearts are literally turned from stone to flesh by the Word of God. But because of the crap that we might have in our own minds and in our own hearts, it can actually be made of like no effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening with people that are turning away from the Holy Spirit and the Church of Pentecost too, mm-hmm. is like, they've got so many cares of this world, especially after COVID. I hate talking about COVID mm-hmm. so much, mm-hmm. but it's true. There was so much chaos in the news and so much fear mongering mm-hmm. and worry, and you know, people's lives really were turned upside down. But if people would just shut those voices out, they wouldn't have so many rocks and thorns and bad mm-hmm. soil to sort through, because mm-hmm. people started going to church and they're like, wow, this isn't working for me anymore. Yes. It's like, no, you have filled your heart with crap from mm-hmm. the world. And now the Word is not being able to take effect because you're deciding to fill yourself with so much other stuff. And now the Holy Spirit, along with the Word of God, really can't do its work in you because mm-hmm. you're just holding on to the things of the world. And somehow that anxiety and that fear of the world is what's bringing you comfort.
Yeah.
Mm. And not the comforter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know.
That's good. And who's the comforter? The Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And if we're trying to do this without the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, like, it's way worse. So I would challenge you, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't even know if my church is Pentecostal or not. Like, I would challenge you. Do you, like, what do you believe about the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus is on purpose said to the disciples, hey, like, before you do ministry, go tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the helper, wait for the gift that the Father's going to send to you. Like, he did that on purpose. And this is Jesus. You can't say, take some of what Jesus said and then forget the rest of it.
Yeah.
And this, I've even been here. I was because I grew up in church and I saw like miracles happen every now and then. And I would see these things, but I wasn't taught expressly that not everyone believes this. So for me, for a long time, I just kind of thought everyone believed in the Holy Spirit. And so I'd be listening to people who were definitely like Calvinist and stuff. And they're like, who didn't even believe in the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. I didn't realize it though, because it's not like they start every sermon out with, hey guys, just before we start today, I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is not real. It's like, they don't do that.
Right.
They go into the word. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's still great stuff that they can say about it, but if they're missing the Holy Spirit, then that sucks. And what happens is it's actually going to rub off on you.
Yeah.
If that's your church, if that's your environment where you are, what's the word that the Bible uses for like not letting the Holy Spirit work? It says, don't do this to
the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Don't grieve. Yeah. Don't despise, maybe. I don't know. It's in there where it says, I think it is grieve, but it's like, don't despise. It's don't despise prophecy. Anyways, if the Holy Spirit doesn't have free reign in your church, if you personally don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I would charge you with the Bible. Like,
charged.
What?
I said be charged.
Be charged. Be charged and study for yourself. Like, when was the last time you prayed in the Spirit and you spoke in tongues?
It works.
It works. The Bible says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. If you need edification, most people have to wait until Sunday because they don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then they hear their pastor say something like, oh man, that's great. Like, now they're edified again. But then Wednesday hits and they're like, gosh, this is awful. Like, you can edify yourself. Yeah. You can build yourself up.
Yeah.
The gift of the Holy Spirit is incredible and it's for you.
Yeah.
Again, like, and here's the other challenge. Don't just take me. Don't just take this, study it for the word.
Yeah.
Go look it up. Go find out what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Find out what Paul and Peter and the disciples in the early church, find out what they say about the Holy Spirit, because it's essential.
Yeah.
And you can't move past it.
Yeah.
The revelations that we hear on Sunday mornings where we're like, oh my gosh, that was so impactful. We have access to every day in the word of God. So do it for yourself.
Even with the verbiage of the comforter, it's like so many people right now, they need comfort because they don't have relationship with the comforter. This is what one of the words Jesus uses for the Holy Spirit. It's like, if you need comfort, I'm telling you, like, you can hear another sermon and that'll work for a second. But what about inviting the Holy Spirit into your life?
Yeah.
And just truly believing the Bible for what the Bible says. If you read something in the Bible and it's not real in your own life, can I tell you, it's most likely not the Bible that's wrong. It's us that's the wrong one.
Yeah, 100%.
So if you see something, it's like, this is in the word, but where is it in my own life? And you're missing out on it, I'm telling you.
You've got to put it to action, though.
Exactly.
There's so much that people want God to do for them that he can't do because he already did it. Like, there's nothing more that he can do. He literally went through torture on the cross and then raised himself up from the dead.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us can do that. And then he ascended again and sent the Holy Spirit for us, which is God, is Jesus living in us.
That's it.
And so people are sitting around like, oh, well, I don't understand. I go to church and I go to a Pentecostal church, but I just want to be happy. I don't feel it anymore. It's like, it's time for you to start speaking in tongues.
That's really
it's time for you to get into your own personal prayer and praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for you to get hungry again and start digging into the word of God.
Yes.
It's time for you to turn off your awful music, turn off the TV, and start listening to a sermon, start listening to a podcast. There's nothing more that God can do for you. The power is in your hands now. So many people deal with that. And it's like, if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit and you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's like, that he is what makes every little moment in life so special.
Yes.
Like, you can go through life and just be like, oh, I'm waking up and gotta drink another cup of coffee. Gotta get whatever ready. Gotta do my laundry. Mm-hmm. I'm so sick of my life every day. Or it's like, the Holy Spirit can literally just give you so much joy just doing those things.
Yes.
I really don't know how people do it. Like, actually, I understand why so many people are on antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, because without the Holy Spirit in this world, it's like, there's nothing in this world that's going to give you joy anyway.
Yes. Yep.
There, it can't. It's It's a bunch of unfulfilled promises. It's a bunch of lies is what the world is.
Yeah.
But when you have the Holy Spirit, it's like you can be literally weeping in joy doing the dishes.
Yeah.
And that's real. That can really happen to you. You can be so excited and satisfied sitting on the couch just reading the Bible and getting your revelation for the day. And that will literally fuel you for the rest of your day. You can have so much fun. I'm not going to, that was going to sound really weird, so I'm not going to say it. But you can, you really can have just such a fulfilled life with what God has given you. Yeah. And he wants to give you more, but he also wants you happy where you're at and what he's already given you. So yeah, don't leave a church with the Holy Spirit and start engaging with him, because I don't know how people do it.
Yes.
And even
with discerning of spirits, that's another gift of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives to us. The discernment, that's huge. It's just like the gift of discernment. When you have the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and if all you have is words on a page, there's a difference between words on a page and then word that's alive within you. The Holy Spirit makes the word come alive to you. But if you just have a bunch of words on a page, what are you going to do today? There's a story of a pastor of mine a couple years ago. It was, you remember the big earthquake in Haiti? It was like crazy. And I think there's another one since then.
Yeah.
But he was going to lead a mission trip down there, like days before the earthquake was going to happen. I mean, obviously, it's not like it was on the schedule. Hey, guys, earthquake in Haiti happening.
Right.
But they had been planning this mission trip. They raised a bunch of money for it. And they're really believing God. And they're like, cool, we're about to go. Literally 2 days before they're about to leave, he says, we can't go. We got to cancel the trip.
Wow.
He built such a relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, listening to him and hearing his voice, that he's like, we can't go. We just can't go. And so people were bummed, but they're like, okay, you know, we trust him, whatever. We just won't go. We'll reschedule, whatever. And so like, it literally, I think it was 2 days or like the day before. And so I was, you know, we're just not going to go. I don't know why. We're just not going to go. And then, you know, a day goes by and then 2 days go by, and they were supposed to be at that time. They're supposed to be in the town of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And right there, that was literally the epicenter of the earthquake.
Wow.
Was Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And like, they should have been right in the middle of where the worst damage was, but because of the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, they weren't there. And they avoided that. How many people are running into situations, and because they don't like encounter a living God, are on their way for something awful, but because their ears aren't open to have a living God speak to them, it's like it's not gonna go well, and it sucks. I don't know if I'm supposed to say sucks, but I apologize.
It's
okay. But
it's totally fine.
But we just need the Holy Spirit. I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to with Pentecostal church. We need the Holy Spirit in our church services. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. And if we don't have that, we're missing out.
Yeah,
we're missing a huge part. And yes, he's God. We can't overlook that.
Yeah.
Even Jesus gets so defensive about the Holy Spirit. Jesus, he's like, yeah, you can disrespect me, whatever. You can say all the smack about God. He's like, but if you disrespect the Holy Spirit, boy.
Yeah, that's a toughie.
That's
a big one.
He gets real tight.
That's a big one.
And it's just wild. And really, my heart just breaks for people who don't have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of it, like, they'll go to church and they're faithful Christians or whatever, but like there's something missing. And they know it too. A lot of people, they know it. Like they have part of it, but there's just something, there's something more they don't have. And a lot of them, they're just not empowered. They're not empowered believers. They feel like they need their pastor to be the one to share. If you have the Holy Spirit, I love when Jesus, he says, you be my witnesses.
Right.
You go witness to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the other uttermost parts of the earth. It's like you, it's our job now.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not empowered to go do this.
Right.
So
if you're listening to this and you're thinking about leaving your church because it's evangelical Pentecostal, because there's things that are rubbing you the wrong way, I would challenge you, one, to just check your heart and really take an honest look at yourself and where you are with your walk with God, and just be honest. Two, don't be afraid to ask questions. We were just talking about this last week. You can ask questions in a safe environment with your pastor, with your church leaders. Don't go ask somebody who also has the same questions that are confused. Don't ask somebody who just got saved yesterday. Don't go on YouTube and look up things. Ask your pastor that's very studied in the word. If you don't have a pastor that's studied in the word, you can email PastorSpencer@me.com. PastorSpencer@me.com. He has 2 doctorates and he's very, very studied. He's been in ministry for 33 years now. He knows what he's talking about, especially when it comes to Pentecost, when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Our pastor knows his stuff. So,
and he'll point you to the word.
Yes, he'll point you to the word. He's not going to give you an opinion.
It's wrong. But if which I know he will. He'll point you to the word.
Yes.
And you'll be good from there.
Yes. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Giving up the Holy Spirit for your own fleshly comfort is a warning in the end times, and it does not leave you in a good position. So, you know, don't make an emotional decision. Don't make a quote unquote intellectual decision. Make a Holy Spirit decision. So that's what I would say. Thank you so much for watching this Behind the Scenes podcast. Again, you can follow us on Instagram, B_behind the scenes podcast. Facebook is B.behind the scenes podcast. And if you're already watching us on YouTube, then you already found us. And we will see you next week. Thanks so much.